May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 104. Lord, I am vile, conceived in sin, and born unholy and unclean, sprung from the man whose guilty fall corrupts the race and taints us all. Hymn 104.
Thank you.
Our reading from the Holy Word of God is from the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 49. The prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 49. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he hid me, and said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for naught and in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with the Lord, and my work with my God. And now, saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him, though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And he said, It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers. Kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because of the Lord that is faithful, and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Thus saith the Lord, In an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages, that thou mayest say to the prisoners, Go forth, to them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of waters, by the springs of water shall he guide them. And I will make all my mountains a way, and my highways shall be exalted. Behold, these shall come from far, and lo, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Sinim. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains. For the Lord hath comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, The Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Thy children shall make haste. Thy destroyers and they that made thee waste shall go forth of thee. Lift up thine eyes round about and behold. All these gather themselves together and come to thee. As I live, saith the Lord, thou shalt surely clothe thee with them all as with an ornament, and bind them on thee as a bride doeth. For thy waste and thy desolate places and the land of thy destruction shall even now be too narrow by reason of the inhabitants, and they that swallowed thee up shall be far away. The children which thou shalt have after thou hast lost the other shall say again in thine ears, The place is too strait for me. Give place to me that I may dwell. Then shalt thou say in thine heart, Who hath begotten me these, seeing I have lost my children and am desolate, a captive, and removing to and fro? And who hath brought up these? Behold, I was left alone. These, where had they been? Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will lift up mine hand to the Gentiles, and set up my standard to the people, and they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. And kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down to thee with their face toward the earth, and lick up the dust of thy feet. And thou shalt know that I am the Lord. For they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? But thus saith the Lord, Even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children, and I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken with their own blood as with sweet wine, and all flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am thy Saviour, and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Amen. May the Lord bless his holy word to us and help his servant to pray.
Most kind and merciful Lord God, we need thee now to grant to us a breath of real prayer. Lord, ever keep us from just uttering words or praying as the Pharisees did, thus with ourselves. But Lord, may we know that true indicting of thy Holy Spirit. We might ask for those things that are in accordance with thy holy mind and thy holy will that we should ask for. O Lord, do help us to ask in faith, nothing wavering. For Lord, thou hast promised that they that ask shall receive, and oh, that we may ever be at the footstool of thy mercy, pleading and wrestling with thee. O Lord, as we come now to the evening hour of thy day, we would pray with those that journeyed to Emmaus, that thou wouldst abide with us. For it is toward evening, the day is far spent. And oh, may we be favoured like thy word, for thou didst go in and tarry with them. Oh, we pray thou wilt come within these walls this evening. We may prove what the dear poet said, the season will be sweet if Jesus be but there. No, Lord, may we be favoured to lose sight of the things of time and of this world, and have a glimpse by faith of Jesus only. Oh, we pray that thou wilt soften our hearts, Lord. We mourn because of the hardness and coldness and deadness and rebelliousness of our hearts. Oh, we do pray that thou wilt give us that broken, that contrite heart, a heart to fear thy holy name, a heart to truly seek thee and to serve thee. Oh, may we each have that real heart religion, Lord, that thou art the author and the finisher of. O Lord, how we need thee to quicken our souls. And notice how dead and cold and lifeless we are so often. And oh, that thou wouldst breathe into our hearts that breath of life. O Lord, thou didst say in the days of Ezekiel in that valley of dead bones, thou didst say unto them, live. Oh, that thou wouldst say that to each of our souls, and that we may have that life divine within, that we may truly hunger and thirst after thee and thy righteousness. O Lord, we pray that thou wilt be the master of assemblies, and that we may worship thee in the beauty of holiness, and in spirit and in truth. O Lord, may it please thee to speak to our souls, that we might hear thy voice. We may prove what the spouse were enabled to say of old, for his mouth is most sweet. And O Lord, how sweet are the words thou dost speak to thy children. Oh, we pray that we may know a little of that sweetness, that sweet savour. Lord, whether it be in correction or in reproof, whether it be for our encouragement, our comfort, our help, oh, that thou hast come where we each are and suit thyself to every sinner's case. Now, it's those who have come up, Lord, that a longing for thee to speak to them. May this be the set time that thou wilt speak to their souls. And those, Lord, that are sorrowful and grieving and weeping, oh, do come, dear Lord, and comfort their hearts. Grant them those sweet encouragements from thyself. And Lord, if there are any that are careless, we pray that thou wilt come and reprove and correct them. For thou didst say, whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Lord, how often we need reproving, we need correcting. We are prone to wander and prone to leave the God we love. Lord, we pray thou wilt draw near to us and give us that grace, Lord, that we might endure to the end, that we may hold on our way. Oh, do make us steadfast and unmovable, ever abounding in the work of the Lord. We pray that thou wilt give us more faith, Lord. We seem so often so faithless. And how often we have to say with the hymn writer, oh, could I but believe, then all would easy be. Oh, do increase our faith, Lord, and when we have no faith, oh, do grant us it. For thou hast said, without faith it is impossible to please God. Oh, we do pray then that we may be strong in faith, giving God the glory. And Lord, do give us that wisdom from above. We feel our foolishness, our ignorance, our inability to do anything aright of ourselves. But oh, may it please thee to make us wise unto salvation. We seek first, Solomon did, for wisdom and for understanding. Dear Lord, do remember those that are in weakness and affliction, those in old age unable to gather now as in former days. Do visit them in their homes and reveal thyself to them. And say unto their souls and ours, Lord, I am thy salvation. Lord, may they and may we each be prepared for the great day of death. Oh, that we may have on the wedding garment, waiting for thy coming. Dear Lord, do make us real and make us right, and teach us all that we need to know. And we pray that thou wilt go before us each. Guide us, Lord, direct us, show us thy way and thy will. And oh, do grant us grace to be submissive, to know no will but thine. Remember those, Lord, in weakness, who come and make them strong, both in body and in soul. And those, Lord, that have impossible things my faith be given to believe. There's nothing impossible with thee, or too hard for thee. Lord, do remember those that are bereaved. We pray thou wilt comfort the widows, the widowers, the fatherless, and all that walk a lonely pathway. And may it please thee to make the darkness light before thy people. Thou knowest those that walk in darksome paths, and the way seems mysterious. But oh, that thou would shine into their hearts and shine upon the road. And oh, may the prayer of the hymn writer be our prayer. Lord Jesus, shine, and then I can feel sweetness in salvation's plan. Remember that any that may have got some special need and case, oh, do come and suit thyself to every sinner's case. May none be empty sent away. Feed the hungry, Lord, with living bread. And may the thirsty draw from the wells of salvation. Remember, Lord, thy dear people here, do bless this cause of truth, and we pray that thou wilt add to the church precious souls. Oh, may there be those made willing in the day of thy power to enter Father's room. For thousands make a wretched choice and rather starve than come. Oh, do remove the hindrances, we beseech thee. And may there be those enabled to say, hinder me not, ye much loved friends, for I must go with you. May thy constraining love constrain thy children. And do in mercy, Lord, add to them in the congregation. What we desire here, we desire in our own flock, Lord, that there may be yet a bringing back of prodigals, a reviving of thy work, that there may be those yet born again, there may be those with a true hunger and thirst for the truth as it is in Jesus. And do bless the dear children, dear Lord, and the young people. Preserve and keep them each, Lord, and bless those truths that they're favoured to hear in the Sabbath school. May it abide in them, and thy word live in them. And may they be raised up to be pillars in Zion in their day and generation. Who hear the prayers, Lord, that are put up for them. And may there be a seed yet to serve thee, and a generation to call thee the Redeemer blessed. And, O Lord, we pray for a gracious revival in the churches, and may there be yet seen the wonders God alone can do. Help us to give thee no rest until thou dost work. For thou hast said, I will work, and who shall let it? Who help the deacons, Lord, and guide and direct them in the burdens and responsibilities they have, and do bless the hymns they give out. And may they prove to be thy choice, and made a blessing to each that sings. And Lord, may we know the realities of what we sing. In mercy, Lord, do look upon this nation. What can we say, Lord? We have trodden thy word under our foot. We have departed from thee. Oh, we beg of thee. that there might be yet a blessed return. Many brought to flee the wrath to come. Many brought, Lord, to fear thy holy name. Oh, do raise up godly, gracious men to rule our land, and in the established church too. May there be those of heavenly wisdom and God-given integrity and grace. And may, Lord, our Queen and the royal family be blessed with the riches of thy grace. Hear the prayers that are put up over the sigh and the sighs and groans over the abominations done in the land. And in the midst of deserved wrath, remember mercy still. Preserve to us our Protestant heritage and constitution. And, oh, do remember all thy persecuted ones throughout the earth, those displaced because of war, Lord, those taken captive. We would pray for them, that thou wilt yet appear, and make bare thine arm, and put down all the enemies of the truth. And may there yet be seen many brought from all the enmity and sin and wickedness there is, to fear thee, the only true God. Deliver us from the violent and evil men, Lord, and those that would take the privileges we are favoured with from us. Leave us not, nor forsake us. We would praise thy holy name for all thy mercy. We would not let them lie, forgotten in unthankfulness, nor without praises die. Oh, do help us, Lord, to praise thy holy name. And oh, do keep us, Lord, from all evil and sin, and keep us from grieving thee, and keep us at thy dear feet, humbled in the dust. May Christ be first and Christ be last to us each, and Christ be all in all. Forgive what we've uttered amiss. Help us to fall into thy kind arms, sink or swim. Pour in that we might pour out. And may it not be our word, Lord, but thine. And that which is sown in weakness, raised in power. We ask thee to pardon what we've uttered amiss and all our sins, and wash us in that precious blood of Jesus. We beg it for his dear name's sake. Amen.
Hymn 744. Know awful sense we find of sin, the sinful life and sinful heart. Know loathing of the plague within, until the Lord that feel impart. But when the Spirit of truth is come, a sinner trembles at his doom. Hymn 744.
Thank you.
seeking thee, Lord, for all needed help and your prayerful attention, I will direct you to the chapter we read together, Isaiah chapter 49 and the first part of verse 11. Isaiah chapter 49 and the first part of verse 11. And I will make all my mountains a way. The prophecy of Isaiah chapter 49 and the first part of verse 11. And I will make all my mountains a way. The reason I name this as a text this evening is because when I awoke this morning, immediately thinking of the services, this word dropped in with a sweet measure of power into my soul. And I will make all my mountains away. I didn't know where it was in the Word of God, and I thought of what the old preachers used to say, and they often said it to me in my early days, if the Lord gives you a text, he will show it to you where it is. You know, we need so often, don't we, faith. Many times we go to the concordance to find it, but I pleaded with the Lord, he'd show me, and within a few minutes, there it was before me in this chapter. So we venture with it. First of all, are there those of you this evening that have got mountains that are before you and that concern you and burden you and exercise you? We find so much throughout the prophecy of Isaiah, and so many times the Lord speaks of the mountains to his dear people, and this is one of them. And if we are truly born of God and found in that narrow way that leads unto life, there will be many mountains that we shall have to encounter. And some of those mountains will be very great. And you will stand as you look at them and say, Lord, we can never overcome them, or we can never stand against these mountains. But you see, the Lord who formed the mountains naturally in the earth, in the wonders of creation, he causes his dear people to have these mountains, and they have to stand before them and tremble. I remember once being in Scotland and looking at some of the great mountains, and I thought of the handiwork of God. He put them there. They weren't put there by chance, and we stood in awe at the mountains. But some of you may look at these mountains and you stand in awe. You say, Lord, thou hast put them there. And if you look through the Word of God, you will find many of the Lord's dear children had some mountains to encounter, didn't they? And I want to look as help this evening at a few of the mountains you may have. And then we would look too at the wonderful promises the Lord has given concerning these mountains. And then thirdly, they are not our mountains, yours and mine. Our text says, and may we know it in our souls, and I will make all my mountains away. Well, what mountain have you got tonight? We would begin with the great mountain of sin that troubles God's dear people. It's a mountain that is only really ever known in its depth and entirety by God's dear people, taught by the Holy Spirit. Sin is not a mountain to the ungodly or to the world, is it? He doesn't trouble them. But to the child of God, it is a great mountain. Those inmost sins that no man sees. Then there are the sins of our thoughts. The sins of our words, our conversation, the sins of our steps, our lives, and the sins of our most holy things. Because, like the hymn writer said, our best is stained and dyed with sin. Our all is nothing worth. The poet further said, didn't he? To see sin smart but slightly, to own with lip confession, is easier still, but oh, to feel, cuts deep beyond expression. You see, this great mountain of sin is felt, and it's greatness is felt and its power is felt and the solemn effect of it is felt. If you look in the case of the publican and the Pharisee, when they went up to the temple, it was not a mountain. Sin wasn't to the Pharisee, was it? But it was to the dear publican. And the mountain was felt within his own heart, within his own breast. We read, he smote upon his breast, crying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The hymn writer said, and oh, to feel it, to see sin smart but slightly, I've just quoted him. But oh, to feel it cuts deep beyond expression. Now is sin a mountain to one here tonight? There's a good prayer in the prophecy of Isaiah, isn't there? In that, I think it's 64th chapter, where the dear prophet begins that chapter under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, and he says this, oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. And that'd be the longing and prayer and supplication of your heart when sin is a mountain to you, that the Lord would rend the heavens and come down and cause this mountain to flow down. I may have told you before that when the Lord laid the great exercise on my heart of baptism and to follow him in that sacred ordinance, I was down by the stream that Saturday afternoon to get the cows in for milking. And this one cow was in the stream, and I went right down to where she was to get her out. And as I looked into the water, the Lord spoke to me. See, here is water, what doth hinder thee to be baptized? And the Lord spoke it audibly from heaven to my soul. And in a moment within me I said, Lord, but all these mountains to hinder me, and the great mountain to hinder me was the sin of my heart. And you know, as soon as the Lord spoke that, he filled my soul with his love, so I was immersed in it. And I looked for the mountain that only moments before had been with me of hindrance, and it was all gone. He just flowed down in it. You know, it's a wonderful thing when the Lord is pleased to cause his love to flow into our souls. His forgiving love. And these mountains just flow down. And all the sin that troubled me was gone. And the joy that filled my heart. You see, when the Lord rends the heavens and he comes down, this mountain of sin that may trouble you can flow down in a moment. It's like those words the Lord spoke, was it not, to the woman caught in the very act of adultery. And you know, all her accusers were put out, weren't they? But what did he say? Neither do I condemn thee. And you see, as he spoke that into her soul, go sin no more, she knew what it was for that mountain of great sin that troubled her to flow down at his presence. And I think of that beautiful word, and may the Lord breathe it into any sin-sick soul tonight. I, even I, the Lord said, am he that blotteth out, completely removes all thy transgressions, and will not remember thy sin. They're all put away, you see. And as far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed thy transgressions from before thee. They're all removed, you see, all gone. I will make all my mountains away. Think of that little word, all. All thy sins were put away at Calvary. Not some of them. There may be one particular sin that troubles one soul here tonight. And it's between you and the Lord, and all that sin that troubles you. And Satan keeps reminding you of it. You cannot remove it. No man can. The most eminent minister cannot. But the Lord, you see, when he said, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That's very precious to me, where he says, all sin. And when the dear Saviour, and I speak it with much reverence, shed that precious blood at Calvary, it was for every sin of those the Father had given him to suffer, bleed and die for. It cleanseth from all sin. That precious blood does. It doth for sin atone, as the hymn writer said. We sing in that beautiful hymn, don't we? There is a fountain. Oh, what comfort there is to sinners there, isn't there? There is a fountain. Poor soul, there may be one that Satan's saying to you tonight, oh, but your sins are past all forgiveness. But let me tell you this, poor sinner, there is a fountain. And it's filled with blood. And it's drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Where sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all, don't forget the little word, their guilty stains. It's not just the sin that he'll remove, it'll be even the very stains of it. The dying thief rejoiced to see the fountain in his day. Can you say, and do you long to say, and there have I, as vile as he, washed all my sins away. I don't know why it's so with me, but don't forget that little word, all. You can face the devil then and say, the Lord said, all my sins are washed away. So there's that mountain, you see, which the Lord alone can remove. He can make it away. And he can do it in a moment. Poor sinner, flee to him. Seek for his mercy. Seek for his pardon. Seek for that sweet assurance that he suffered, bled and died for you, for me. The hymn writer said, didn't he? The time of love, and think of the wording of it, will come when we shall clearly see not only that he shed his blood, but each shall say for me. Tarry his leisure then, wait the appointed hour, wait till the bridegroom of your souls reveals his love with power. The Lord said, and I will make all my mountains away. But then, some of you may have got a mountain in your providential pathway or in your business. And that mountain you cannot remove. But the Lord can. Oh, he can. These mountains, you see, are all in his hands. You think of the wonderful mountains in this country. Well, when we were in Canada in the Rocky Mountains, you know, the sight is wondrous, really. But you think, who put them there? The God of the whole earth, shall he be called? And those mountains you have in your pathway, it may be in your providence. You think, what a mountain it must have been for Dear Elijah, and in his day when the Lord withheld the rain for 3 years and 6 months, and you look, how was he to be fed? How was the Lord's people to be fed? Where was the water to come from? But you look how wonderfully the Lord caused the mountain to flow down at the brook Cherith. The Lord did that which his men would say was impossible. The Lord sent the ravens to feed him, bread and flesh in the morning, and then again in the evening. And there he provided the brook for the water. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And dear Elijah saw the mountain just flow down. Oh, he did. But then you may say, well, what about it when the brook dried up? Well, the Lord went before him, didn't he? Arise and go into Zarephath. Listen, for there I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. And you look how the Lord wonderfully provided, and he proved the sweet promise, didn't he? The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day the Lord send rain upon the earth. The Lord was to provide, wasn't he? The mountain just flowed down. And some of us can look back, you know, at some of the wonderful provisions of the Lord in providence, as we look back and see how the mountains have just flowed down. And he can do that today. You young people may have got some mountains, it may be, in your work or concerning your future pathway, or it may be concerning a home or an occupation, and it looks impossible. And it's like a mountain before you. Sometimes an interview can be a mountain. Not only to a young person, but to some that are older too. But poor soul, that mountain the Lord can cause to flow down in a moment. Oh, he can. Oh, he can. And then your mountain may be, and I must hasten, but the mountain may be an affliction that's upon you. I remember, if I may just say this, that some years ago now, must be 20, I should think 26 or 7 years ago, I went to Lister Hospital to visit my daughter, who had 2 operations. The first was not very successful, or hardly successful, and she had to go back and have it done again. And I remember going to that hospital, and I thought, you know, she's got to go through all this again. It seemed such a mountain. And I was going on to preach at Blackboys. And as I walked into the hospital, all this mountain, you know, before me and before us as a family. And as I sat by her bedside, the Lord dropped these words into my heart. For the mountain shall depart, and the hills be removed. But then this, and it just melted me. But my kindness shall not depart from thee. You think of it. But my kindness shall not depart from thee. And you know, in a moment, the mountain just flowed down. And I could see in it the kindness of the Lord, even in affliction. Mercifully, the Lord wonderfully brought her through, and for the most part it has been a success. But oh, the mountain at the time. But my kindness. You see, the Lord is a kind God to his dear people. And though they have these mountains, in his kindness to them, in his love to them, he causes this mountain to flow down. He makes it a way. And then there's that great mountain, Satan. If you've got a real religion and I have, Satan will be a mountain to you, especially when he comes in like a flood. And there's the devil roaring. It may be everything seems to be against you. And oh, this mountain. How shall I overcome it? Well, Job couldn't, could he? And you look at the faith and grace given to dear Job. But who was to overcome that great mountain for dear Job? It was the Lord himself. And he was to cause in his time, now don't forget that, in his time the mountain to flow down at his presence. The Lord was to do it. And you look at that last part of the book of Job and you'll see how the Lord turned the captivity of Job. Satan could do great things, and the Lord permitted him, as I've said many times, to take away his livelihood, to take away Job's strength in afflicting him from head to foot with boils, and two, for Satan to attack his soul. Well, there was one thing Satan couldn't do, and that was he couldn't touch Job's life. The Lord said to him, but touch not his life. And oh, the mountains that the dear man had to endure. But you look how the Lord brought him out. What does he say in that 23rd chapter? It's a beautiful word. But he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And those mountains were just to flow down, to be made away, and he was to come forth as gold. And the Lord did it. Is anything too hard for the Lord? But then look at the enemies of God's dear people. You think of that great mountain before the children of Israel at the Red Sea. The mountain of the sea. The mountain of Pharaoh's house. But you look how the Lord made a way through that mountain where there was no way. I will make all my mountains a way. You know Pharaoh's house, the sea, the great mountains that surrounded them were all in the Lord's hand. And he was to make a way. Oh, he was. And the Lord can make a way, and this is very wonderful, really, where there is no way. And you look how he divided the sea, and you know the history of it as well as I do. But you look how he made the way for them and the mountain flowed down. The Lord was to destroy all the hosts of Pharaoh in that sea and divide the sea for the children of Israel. And then you can think of the enemies that David had to encounter. And when we look at the solemn state and the mountains of hatred against God's people in this solemn day, you look at dear David when he went forth to fight Goliath. Oh, this great giant, this great mountain before him. But the Lord, you know, was to fulfill this text. I will make. Remember who speaks it. All my mountains away. Goliath, you know, stood there as a mountain before David. And the Lord had put him there, but the Lord was to remove him and the Philistine army. I will make all my mountains away. I remember preaching from this word in my probation period, I think it was, if I remember rightly, at the Deacon. One of my old deacons is now in heaven. He was in great straits in many ways, in providence and in his soul. And he came up to the house of God, and I knew nothing what he was in, but I had this text. And the dear man reminded me of it shortly before he died. He said, you know, I've never forgot it. He said, it was just as though the Lord sent you with that word to bring me right out of all what I was in, of trouble and distress and the mountains, both in his providential pathway and to in his soul. And the Lord did it. Oh, he did. He said, I just looked on and the Lord worked. And then, of course, there are those mountains of exercises of his people. You know, though I've been preaching for many years now, every service is a mountain to me. And as I go into the pulpit, I say, Lord, do cause this mountain to flow down. Do make a way in it. Some of you, it may be exercise concerning following the Lord. You may say, well, there's these mountains I've got to encounter. These mountains of public prayer. It's often, I feel it so often, a hindrance to many godly men. How shall we begin to pray in public? It's a mountain. And it's a good thing if it is a mountain to you, poor soul, because you have to cry unto the Lord for help. And beg of him to give you the words to pray. And you can plead this promise. The Lord said, I will make all my mountains away. And he can enable you to pray, even if it's the publican's prayer. I remember going to a prayer meeting once, and a dear man was asked to pray, and he got up, and all he said was the publican's prayer. And if that came out of his heart, that was everything, wasn't it? Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and sat down. Some good prayers in God's word, you know, and they're often only a few words. Oh, they are. Like Peter when they were sinking in the ship, Lord, save us, else we perish. We're all perishing sinners. We all need saving, don't we? He can cause that mountain to be made away. But then, how to speak to the Lord's dear people. Well, there's a beautiful word to exercise soul. Open thy mouth wide, the Lord said, and I will fill it. That's all you got to do. Open your mouth. Let the Lord speak. And he can cause that mountain to flow down at his presence. Oh, he can. And there are many other ways we could look at this. But I want to really come to this third point here, really, because there may be those of you that are saying, well, you know, it's my mountain. I'm so troubled with this mountain. I may not have even named it. What you got? Hannah had it with her barrenness. Others have it in other ways. These mountains. But poor soul, the text is very clear. The Lord said, I will make all my mountains away. Now, may this be of comfort to you. The mountain that you have is not just yours. It's the Lord's. He didn't say, I will make your mountains away. He said, I will make my mountains away. And may that be of sweet comfort to you, that your mountains are his mountains. They're his. And he has all the power and the might to cause them to be made away. We think in that following 55th chapter, if I remember rightly, in Isaiah, where the Lord says this, for ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing. You may say, what, these mountains that I've got break forth into singing so you can see the blessedness in them, the reason why the Lord's given them to humble you, to keep you down, to make you dependent upon him, to make you tender. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing. And all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. And then too, in the 40th chapter, he says this, every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places made plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Oh, you think of those men. You may say, well, all this come out of it. Yes, poor soul. This is what the Lord has said. It's not what I've said. Out of it will come these blessed things, and it's all for the teaching and for the establishing and for the encouragement of his dear people, that his name might be glorified. Oh yes, the Lord will have the glory in it. The work is his, and the work alone, and the glory belongs to him. And your poor soul that's been so often immersed by these mountains and brought so low will be unable to rejoice and give him the glory and the praise. Now, I don't know what mountains you may have before you, but the Lord knows. And then, of course, there's the great mountain of death. And none of us know how soon that hour will come. Jesus said, didn't he, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. And oh, to many dear children of God, it's a great mountain. But he can cause it to flow down, poor soul, as he's done through your life, so he will in death. You never take the child of God up and put them in that narrow way and cause them to go through these mountains and then leave them in that last great mountain to perish. Oh no. He that hath helped thee hitherto will help thee all thy journey through and will crown thy journey's end. Well, I've scratched around the surface of it. May the Holy Spirit sweetly apply the text and sweetly fulfill it in his time, in his blessed way. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £600, for which we are very thankful. God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Field to be followed by a church meeting, and Mr. Pocock will preach on Tuesday evening. Next Lord's Day, there will be a reading service in the morning, and Mr. Timothy Barker will preach in the evening, if the Lord will. And the collections next Lord's Day will be for humanitarian aid to Iraq. Let us close with hymn 356. Does the gospel word proclaim rest for those who weary be? Then my soul put in thy claim. Sure that promise speaks to thee. Marks of grace I cannot show. All polluted is my breast. Yet I weary am, I know. And the weary long for rest. Hymn 356.
Thank you.
Dear Lord, we would thank thee for helping us through once more. We do pray that thy word may be applied with divine power, that we may not leave it all on the chapel doorstep, to come over the poverty of our poor feeble attempts. Bless thy word, take thy glory to thy precious name. Take us each now, Lord, into thy kind care and keeping. Forgive anything that's been amiss. May the grace of the dear Lord Jesus, love of God the Father, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, the divine comforter, rest and remain with us each now and forevermore. Amen.